Well, hey, welcome. So glad to have you all here as we are in week three of this series, Love, Sex, and Heartbreak. And, as you saw, my name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here, and I got a new title. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for the new title. Appreciate that. Westfield Campus Pastor. There's so much more to that. We'd love to have you at that launch team gathering on April 19th. Here's the thing. There's a question that we're going to be looking at today. And for those of you in the room that would say maybe you're a student, maybe you're single, dating, single again, you didn't plan to be here, but you find yourself here, this is for you today. And for those of you who are married and you're like, oh, cool, well, why did I even come? No, there's a ton of what we're even talking about that's going to really apply to where you're at right now. You know, there's so many of us in the room that are married, and so there are going to be things all throughout that are going to start to connect some dots for you. So stay tuned. But for those of you who are in the room that are dating, maybe you're engaged, maybe you're a student, maybe you're a high school student, you're thinking about that, you know there's that guy you're interested in. Today is for you. So here's the question I want to look at, all right? Are you who the person that you are looking for is looking for? You guys catch that? Are you who the person that you're looking for is looking for? Because if you become the right person, chances are that you've got better odds, you've got a better chance of meeting the right person. But there's a process to this. You've got to continue to work. And so the question that I want to really ask you is, are you in process of becoming that person, that the person you're looking for is looking for? So today, I want to say to students, I want to say to single people in the room, maybe those who are single again, I want you to know that you can do it. Like, you really can do it. That marriage is awesome. Marriage is incredible. Marriage is worth it. You can have a marriage. You can craft an intimacy that will last. But know that it takes work. Know that you don't just get to stand at an altar in front of some guy like me or some woman like me who's a pastor and make these vows and these promises and it's just like, all right, we're good. I mean, we're ready to go. No, marriage takes work. And you know, we don't see a lot of great marriages on TV and movies, right? I mean, we don't really see those because reality TV likes to show basically everything other than a great marriage, right? I mean, we look at all the reality TV shows and we know those are probably not the best marriages. See, the best marriages, great marriages are relatively boring. I mean, if we're honest about it, right? Great marriages are relatively boring. There's incredible love. There's incredible intimacy. There's a lack of drama. It's full of love and full of secrets, things you don't want other people to know because it's just for you and your spouse. You see, you can have an incredible marriage. If you're a student in the room, you can have an incredible marriage. If you've never been married, you get to get this right for the very first time right off the bat. So today I'm going to give you a little behind the scenes. We're going to pull back the curtain a little bit with some of the secrets that maybe you've never heard before about love, sex, and heartbreak. So students, single people, here's what you don't know. You see, every single Saturday here in Fishers and Indianapolis and all around the surrounding communities of Indy and really all over the world, you know, there's guys that get dressed up in a tux. And they look way more handsome than they really are, if we're honest. Like, we know that there's no way that guy's really that good looking. And he's there on his wedding day, and his wife, his bride, looks absolutely stunning. I mean, just drop dead gorgeous. And they stand at an altar. They stand in front of some guy like me, and they look at each other. They're holding hands. They're full of love. They're in front of all their friends, their family. And they make these vows, they make these promises, they make these commitments to one another. And if we're honest, they're just lying to each other, right? I mean, let's be honest. When you stand at an altar in front of your friends, your family, all the people that you love, you're making these commitments, you're making these vows, but let's be honest, you're not prepared to follow through with those things. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe 1 month, 2 months, 6 months down the road, you realize, you know what, I know that I said that, but man, I just don't know about that. I don't know if I can really live up to that. I don't know if I can really actually do that. And you start to have these commitment wars, and all of a sudden they begin to realize, like, I didn't really mean what I said. Like, there's no way, but you start to hold each other accountable. You start to look at each other and say, but you said that you would do this, and you said that, and you committed to this, and you promised. And the reason is, single people, I'm telling you, the married people around you, they didn't discover this until after they're married. You get to figure this out from the very beginning. See, people get married and they make promises that they can't keep. They make vows, commitments that they want to, and they try to, but they're just not prepared to do it. And the reason they're not prepared is that they've overlooked a principle that we understand in all other areas of life. Like, we get it in other areas, but when it comes to relationships, we kind of just want to gloss over it. We kind of want to just assume the best. Believe that love will cover all. Love's going to take care of this. Don't worry. We don't have to prepare. We don't have to put in the effort. You see, here's the principle. You see, promises are no substitute for preparation. Is there anyone in the room that's like a long distance runner, you know, maybe done half marathons, marathons? Anybody in the room? Maybe there's a few of you. Okay, so you guys get this, right? If you've ever done a long distance run, prepared for a marathon, a half marathon, you know that your signature on the dotted line, getting the bib, getting the t-shirt is worth absolutely nothing if you didn't prepare, right? I mean, it's absolutely worthless if you didn't put in the time, the energy, the effort, if you didn't go out and do the 5-mile run, the 10-mile run, if you didn't put in the work, if you didn't prepare, your signature is worthless. Students in the room, if you went to your parents and say, hey, mom, you know what? I know I got the ACT coming up. I know I got the SAT. You know, I've got this. You don't even have to worry about me. I'm going to get a perfect score, mom. Like, I'm going to get a perfect score. But if you don't put in the work, if you don't prepare, if you don't put in the energy, if you don't go to the SAT class, you telling your parents that, that's worthless. It's worth absolutely nothing. And you see, we understand that in other areas of life, but when it comes to relationships, people think, you know, I can just promise my way past my lack of preparation. Let me put it this way. Just because you say I do, it doesn't make you able. It only makes you accountable. Just because you say I do, it doesn't make you capable. It only makes you accountable. And when you're accountable for something, you're not able to do it, you become miserable. And there are some of you that maybe would say, you know, Chris, that's right where I am. I feel miserable right now. Okay, and there are a lot of people right now that would say that. Because they stood in front of their friends, their family, and they didn't put in the time, the energy, the effort, the preparation that it takes to craft an intimacy that lasts. It's kind of like Ron White. You guys ever heard Ron White tell the story of when he got arrested for public intoxication? Anybody ever heard this story? I'll let him tell it. Check this out.
Well, they called the police because we broke a chair on the way out the door and I refused to pay for it. The cops showed up, and at that point, I had the right to remain silent, but I didn't have the ability.
I had the right to remain silent, but I didn't have the ability. See, commitment, it's way overrated. Commitment is way overrated. You see, commitment, if you're committing to something you can't do, if you're committing to something you haven't prepared for, your commitment, your words, your promises, worthless. They're worthless. But I'm telling you, single people, let me tell you what's going to happen if you don't take this advice today. And you don't have to, you know, I'm not forcing it on you, but I'm telling you from, you know, I don't have that long of marriage. I've got 5.5 years, but I'm telling you from people that I've talked to, from books that I've read, from experts we're going to look at today, if you don't take this advice, here's what's going to happen. You're going to fall in love with a person that's going to convince you that their track record is irrelevant. You're going to fall in love with someone who's going to try and tell you and try and explain their way past everything. And just, baby, when we get married, it's all over. It's all gone. All the things from my past, they're gone. We might as well just throw them out the door because, baby, love is going to take care of all of this. That basically, when he marries you, he's going to make a commitment. She's going to make a commitment that they're just going to automatically change. Here's what you need to understand. People in the room, they're single. Students in the room, those who are single again. You see, a lack of preparation cannot be trumped by a promise. A lack of preparation, it can't be trumped by just a vow, a promise, a commitment. Promises, they don't matter if a person hasn't put in the work, hasn't put in the preparation. So if you just get one thing out of today, I want you to prepare to commit. Single people in the room, I want you to prepare to commit. I want you to be able to stand at an altar in front of your friends, your family, the people that you love. I want you to be able to look your spouse, your future spouse, the one that you love in the eye. And I want you to be able to back up the vows, the promises that you make to them in that moment. I want you to be able to be in a position where you're going to be able to fulfill your promises. The interesting thing about this is there's this guy, his name was Solomon. He's the wisest man in the world. He was a king of Israel. And he actually wrote specifically about this dynamic. And we're just going to look at two verses today. But I want these to be kind of pillars that hold this whole thing together. And so for those of you in the room that are single, that are students, that are single again, you know, this is for you. But married people, there's so much in this. So don't just check out. Don't check your brain at the door. Like, there's so much here for you as well. So I want to jump into this first verse. This is Proverbs 14:8. But before I get there, he uses a word that we don't use that often. This is what he says. It says, the wisdom of the prudent. We don't say prudent all that often. Let me give you an example of what prudent is. See, prudent is someone who understands that what happened yesterday is connected to what's going to happen in the future. The things that I've done up until this point are going to play into the direction, the path, my future that I'm headed to. That's what a prudent person is. So this is what Solomon says. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. And ways are behaviors, their patterns, their habits, their pathways. You see, everybody has ways. I have ways. You have ways. You have patterns. You have paths. You have habits. And here's what he's saying. The wise person, the prudent person, he gives thought to his ways. In other words, he pays attention to how he does things, how he manages things, because the prudent person knows that the best indicator of his future, of her future, is to look at her past. You see, my past behavior is going to tell me the direction that I'm headed in. This is what Solomon says. He says, but the folly of fools, or the stupidity of fools, is deception. Here's what he's saying, that the prudent person's constantly examining their past, constantly looking at their past, their ways, their habits, and saying, you know, if I can pay attention to these, it's going to tell me what direction I'm going to end up. But the stupid one, the folly here of the fools, is that they just think that none of this is connected. That all the things that I've done in my past have nothing to do with where I'm going. All the things that I was doing when I was a teenager, when I was in college, they have absolutely no play in what's going to happen in my future marriage. That this is what they think, that somehow, good things are just going to magically happen. That's what the fool is thinking here. And here's the second way that he puts it. And this is even more to the point. This is what Solomon says. He says, the simple believe anything. Now, single people, I've just got to warn you, and we've all been there, so I'm not trying to make fun of you too much, but just a little bit. You see, we've all been there. This is what happens. You will fall in love, and you will believe anything. Because you and your boyfriend, you and your girlfriend, you and your fiance, here's the thing. You know, back in the day, you used to make a mixtape for each other. You know this? Or maybe you made a CD. I had some burned CDs. I remember this. Or now it's you got a Spotify playlist, right? I mean, you got a Spotify playlist. And in that playlist, on that CD, on that mixtape, how many of us had a song, right? You remember this? Like, oh, you and your boyfriend, you and your... Oh, yeah, this is it. This is Hannah and I's song. Oh, right here. She's not here, but I know anytime this song comes on, oh, the love. She can feel it. I mean, she's at home right now, but she can feel the love, right? I mean, we had a song. You had a song, right? We all, you started dating. You're starting to figure this whole thing out, and you're riding in the car, and you had a song. And here's the thing. The simple will believe anything. When you're falling in love, man, you'll believe anything. And your parents are going, yeah, okay. But does he have a job? And you're like, no, mom, he doesn't need a job. We've got a song, mom. And you're like, mom. She's like, okay, and how much debt did you say he has? And when was his last relationship? Like, when did he get out of that last one? And you're like, mom, listen, no. Yeah, did I not tell you this? Mom, our initials are the exact same. Like, of course. This is perfect, mom. We have a song. You see, you will believe anything when you're falling in love. You'll believe anything. You see, what happens when we get engaged, we fall in love and we lose part of our mind. You'll believe anything. So the guy comes to her, the girl comes to him, and we all know this. He's like, you know, I know this is wrong with me. Like, I know I did that. And I know, like, yeah, I don't really have a job right now. I had a guy come up to me after first hour, and he's like, dude, that hit a little too deep. Because when I asked my wife's dad if I could marry her, I had $83 to my name. I had no job. And I had hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loan debt. That hit a little close to home because her dad said, well, we let our daughters make their own decisions. You see, there's so much more to it. The prudent person says, let's talk about your paths. The prudent person says, let's talk about your habits. Let's talk about your ways. Let's talk about the person that you've been up until this point in your life. Your promise, your words, your vows, your commitments, your tattoo on your arm with my name on it means nothing. Let's talk about your paths. Kids, this is why your parents freak out when you bring over those friends, that girl, that guy. Because again, you may have a song, but your parents are looking at their pathways. Your parents are looking at their track record, and they're like, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. You see, the simple will believe anything. But Solomon says, the prudent, they give thought to their steps. You know why that's an important word here? It's because when you look at a person's steps, you can usually tell where they're going, right? When you look at a person's steps, when you look at where they've come from, it gives you a pretty clear direction of where they're going. You see, words are meaningless. Promises are meaningless. Commitments are almost meaningless. It's the paths that are the best indicators of where a person is headed and where that person's going to end up. That's true of who you date. That's true of who you are. And you can summarize it this way. You see, the paths that people choose, they trump the commitments that they make. The paths that people choose, they're greater than the commitments that people make. So one of the best things you can do right now, if you're single in the room, if you're dating someone in the room, if you're a student in the room and you're on the front edge of this, one of the best things you can do is I want you to commit right now to become someone who can keep your commitments later. I want you to put in the work right now so that when you stand at an altar and you make those vows, you make those promises, those commitments to your wife, to your future husband, I want you to be someone who has put in the work so you can back up those vows, so you can back up those promises. So here's what we're going to do with the remaining few minutes here. I want to give you some very specific assignments. And these are going to sound single people oriented because they are. But married people in the room, every single one of these is going to connect some dots for you. Every single one of these, if you're married in the room, you're going to be shaking your head like, yeah, we've been there. And here's the thing. You can work on it right now. Just because you get married doesn't mean you have to stop doing the work. The hard work is after you get married. Let's put in the time. Let's put in the energy to walk through these, all right? So married people, you don't get to just check out. You're going to discover some things all throughout that I think are going to help you see that there's more work to be done, all right? The first one, this was one of the most difficult ones. This in and of itself is probably an entire series we could do. If we're trying to create pathways to intimacy, if we're trying to craft an intimacy that lasts, this very first one, it's tough. It's a big category, but you need to address your unresolved childhood issues. I know everyone in the room's like, oh my gosh, Chris, are you really going there? Yeah, no, I'm serious. You need to. You can't just sweep it under the rug because it's just going to keep bringing itself back up. It's going to rear its ugly head every turn you make, because if you don't address this, the rest of your life, it's going to keep punching you right in the gut. You need to address your unresolved childhood issues. Doctors Les and Leslie Parrott actually talk about this. This is what they say. If you attempt to build intimacy with a person before you've done the hard work of becoming a whole and healthy person, every single relationship will be an attempt to complete that hole that's already in your heart. What they're saying is if you're moving towards intimacy with someone, If you're walking down those steps, maybe you're dating someone and you think there's a future in this, maybe you're engaged right now, maybe you're single again and you're considering getting back out there. If you don't do the hard work from the very beginning of trying to figure out where this hole is, You're not trying to become this whole and healthy person. You're just going to try and fill that hole that's already there. And this is so true for married people, those who've been married. You could tell stories of how true this is, how unresolved childhood issues, unresolved childhood hurts have reared their ugly head in the midst of your relationship. And your wife, your husband's looking at you like, where did that even come from? That has nothing to do with what you're talking about, what we're talking about right now. But that something happens, and these childhood hurts, this angst that you still have with your mom, this anger that you still have with your dad, just rears itself up. And so here's a diagram, and I think this can be radical for us. And married people in the room, you've experienced this, you've walked this before, and so I know what you're going to want to do when this diagram comes up. I know what you're going to want to do. It's going to come up, and you're going to want to do this. Because you're going to know. You're going to look at your wife and be like, mm-hmm. Or you're going to get, you know, the elbows and the ribs. I mean, husbands, we've all felt the elbows and the ribs, right? Like, yeah, okay, you did this. You've done this. You're walking this out right now. Here's what I want to do. Married people in the room, we've all been a part of this before. We've all experienced this before. So don't look next door, okay? Like blinders, all right? Look straight ahead, smile, and nod at the screen when this comes up, okay? Because this has happened in every single marriage relationship. Single people, you get to get this right from the beginning, all right? So here it is, all right? So there's you, and there's your parent, or your parents. And there's ways, there's pathways, there's things that have come, there's things that have happened in your life, and there's been ups and downs, there's been good times, there's been bad times, there's this angst, there's this anger, even if you've had great parents. I had great parents. My parents were here this morning. I got to talk about sex with my parents in the room. Doesn't that sound fun, everybody? I mean, listen, even if you've got great parents, there were ups, there were downs, there's angst, there's hurts. And what happens when you get married, single people, those who are dating, those who are engaged, this is what happens. Your spouse gets thrown right in the middle of it, right? I mean, we've all been there. You know, it was funny before. It's not very funny right now because you felt this. You've experienced this. You felt the gut punch when your husband blows up, when your wife blows up, and you're like, I just said we wanted to be there a few minutes early. Where is that even coming from? And smart couples, when this comes up, when this happens, what they do is they go and they get counseling, honestly. Because you've got to figure out these unresolved childhood issues. You've got to figure out these hurts, because if you don't, just gonna keep popping up, and it's gonna really ruin and tear down and cause so much tension in this intimacy that you're trying to craft. And what's gonna happen is you'll go to counseling, you'll spend some time with a counselor, maybe months and years and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And what's gonna come down to is you'll look at your wife, you'll look at your husband, and you'll realize it was never about you. I'm still mad at my dad. It was never about anything you did. It was never about anything that you've done. I've still got issues with my mom. That's it. So if you don't deal with this right now, single people, those who are dating, those who are engaged, that now is the time. Deal with this now so that you can craft an intimacy that's going to last. Married people, if this is where you find yourself, if this hits a little too close for home, dig into it this week. Figure it out. Spend some time with a counselor. We'd love to refer you to a counselor that can help walk you through this, because I know that there are some of us in the room that this is our reality right now. All right, next thing. And we'll shoot through these next ones pretty quick. Next one is this. You need to get out of debt. Single people, those are dating, those are engaged, you need to get out of debt. It's so much easier to get out of debt as a single person than it is when you're married. When you've got two people that are trying to figure out, well, I like it this way, and I want to go on this vacation, and well, I like buying this brand of things, and I like shopping at this place. When you've got two minds, two ideas, it's so much more difficult to get out of debt. So get out of debt now. Do it now. I've got friends that are pastors that have encouraged couples not to get married until they figure this aspect out. Because the number one cause of divorce in North America, the number one cause, it's money fights and money problems. Did you know that? If someone were to tell you before you got married, if someone were to tell you as you were dating, while you were dating, while you were engaged, that there was one cause of divorce that was the main cause, don't you think you'd spend time figuring it out? I mean, you've got to do this. It's why we have the Financial Peace University class that we have here at Crosspoint. It's why we encourage people to do this. I mean, for myself and my wife, we actually did this class when we were still dating, and she was living with the family during the summer. She was nannying these kids, and one of their stipulations was they wanted her to take this class. And so I was 18 years old. I had a job where I swept floors in a warehouse, and I made $8 an hour. I had no money to my name, okay? That's the best time, single people, students in the room, that's the best time to figure out what you're going to do with your money, when you have none. Once you have money, it's a lot harder to figure it out. All the married people, all the adults in the room are shaking their heads like, yep, that is the absolute truth. So figure it out now. I mean, it radically changed. My wife and I, and this is not an exaggeration, we've never once fought about money in 5.5 years of marriage. And we had student loan debt. We had other things that we were trying to take care of. We've moved 4 times in 6 years. I mean, listen, we've had financial things. We've never once fought about financial issues. And it's because we figured it out before we got married. Students, single people, figure it out. You need to get out of debt. All right, next one. You need to break your bad habits. And let me tell you why I put this one here. You see, single people, marriage was not designed to solve any problems. All the married people in the room are like, yeah, that's right. Right? I mean, marriage wasn't designed to solve problems. Marriage creates a lot of problems. It gives you opportunities to solve problems, right? But it wasn't there to solve the problems from the beginning. If you've got bad habits now, you've got to break them. Maybe you drink too much. Maybe you've got a porn thing. Maybe you've got this addiction to shopping, this debt thing that you just cannot figure out. You've got to break your bad habits now. Because once you get married and you bring these things into relationship, the tension that's going to be caused from that, the anxiety, all that's going to happen is you're going to have a bad habit, and now another person is a part of it, and it's so much harder. It's so much more difficult. So you've got to break these bad habits now. Now, married people, if you're married in the room, you know all too well how bad habits, they come into your marriage, and they create a divide. Marriage, it doesn't solve or resolve these things. So if you're married, I just want to encourage you this week. Ask your spouse, ask your wife, ask your husband, you know, is there any habit that I have that's causing a divide? Is there any habit that I have that's building a wall between us? Is there any habit that I have that's creating this lack of intimacy that's hurting our sex life, that's hurting our communication, that's hurting our finances? Is there a habit that I have that I need to work on? And when you ask them, you can't get mad at what you hear because you asked, and they're just being honest. All right, the next one, this gets a little more complicated. And married people, this one might not connect to you, but it might connect some dots from your past. It's this. It's postpone the physical side of your dating relationships as long as possible. Single people in the room, students in the room. I was a youth pastor for 5 years. You know, I never once had a couple or an individual come up to me and say, Chris, you know, I just wish we would have gotten physical faster. Man, I wish we would have just kept going as soon as possible. No, I heard the exact opposite. The exact opposite. You see, when you do that, when you jump in and you get physical fast, I mean, I'm talking first date, second date, third date, it becomes a fog. It becomes a mist. The physical part of your relationship, you have no idea what happened. So just postpone it. Hold it off. Sex in marriage is incredible. It can wait. I promise it can wait. So postpone that physical side and do the research yourself. Google this. I promise. Self-control before you're married results in self-control after you're married. There is statistics, there's research that shows that self-control before, you see, self-control is a path. It's a way. It's a pattern. It's a habit. And so it's a behavior that will last all throughout marriage. So do the research yourself. Last one, and this one, I know it's going to be, you're going to expect me to say this because I'm the pastor, you know, that's like what I'm supposed to say. But if this is where you find yourself, if this is where you're at, and maybe no one ever told you, maybe this was just what you thought was normal, maybe this was the expectation, maybe this was just your assumption of what happens when you got into a serious relationship, just know that there's a better way that will craft an intimacy that will last. It's avoid living together. Avoid living together. There was a study done November of 2019, so just a few months ago, from the Pew Research Center. Here's what they found. That married adults have higher levels of relationship satisfaction. That's communication, that's work-life balance, that's sex life, that's their finances, the way they handle their finances, a higher level of satisfaction in the relationship and trust than those living with a partner. Now, I understand this about statistics. You see, they're only important when they support what you want them to support, right? I mean, you're going to read that, and if it doesn't line up with what you want to hear, like, you're not going to listen to it. And I get it, but Kurt, he talked about this last week. When we have unconditional intimacy that matches the conditional, unconditional commitment, we create this intimacy that lasts. We craft an intimacy that will go on and on and on. And so give this a shot. These five pathways, they will create this intimacy that will last. Maybe you've heard this before. If you go to the right places, chances are you'll meet the right people. You see, it's true. My wife, Hannah, and I, we met in youth group. Obviously, like the pastor, of course, that's where he should meet his wife, is in youth group. And we met, and when we met, I was a teenager. I was a kid. Like, I was dumb. I had paths. I had habits. I wasn't the prudent guy. I was the simple one who was thinking, you know, oh, it doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want. Our youth pastor, that same family that Hannah lived with, it was our youth pastor's family, he told her not to date me. He did. And now, you know, 11 years later, 6 years of marriage later, I think I won that one. So check mark to Chris. I'm going to text Craig later about that. But listen, you're going to meet the right people when you're putting the work in, when you're putting the time in, when you're spending time and effort to be able to stand at an altar in front of your friends, your family, all the people that you love. When you put in the time, when you prepare, you'll be able to live up to those things, those promises, those vows that you make. And it's hard work, but it's worth it. Students in the room, it's hard work. It's hard work to say no, but it's worth it. The single people in the room, maybe those are single again, it is absolutely worth it. You get to get this right. You see, that's a win for you. That's a win for the next generation. That's a win for the kingdom. And it's absolutely worth it. So I don't know where this lands for all of us right now, but I've got a few next steps that I want to give a shot. So go ahead, grab your Connect card, flip it over to the back. There's a few next steps that I just want to walk through. So for single people, for those dating, those who are engaged, those who are single again, married people, there's a next step for every single one of us. So the very first one, if you're sitting out there, you read those five pathways to intimacy, and you're just thinking, oh my gosh, Chris, like, that was a lot. I don't know about all that. Like, I've screwed this up so bad. Maybe for you, maybe it's just committing to come back next week. Maybe you got questions about all this. Maybe you're just going to commit to write a question this week. Jump on the app under this weekend, send a question in. Maybe that is just your next step. Those who are dating, those who are engagement, or maybe you're single, maybe for you, it's to just work on one pathway. One habit, one way that you have about yourself. And begin to work on that this week. Those who are in a marriage, those who are married, maybe it's time to identify what those habits are that's causing a lack of intimacy between you and your spouse. Maybe it's asking your spouse, is there something out there? Is there something that I'm currently doing that's creating a divide between us? And work on that this week. And if you found yourself this morning hearing all this and just feeling like, man, Chris, I screwed this up so bad. I, every single time I've been in a relationship, I've screwed this up over and over again. If you find yourself right now and you're dating someone, maybe you've got some hard decisions to make. If you're married right now, you've got some work to do. But here's what I want you to know. That Jesus can redeem your past and breathe a hope into your future. And I hope that God will stir something up in your heart this week. I hope that He's going to stir something, maybe a habit, a pathway, a way about you that's causing a lack of intimacy in your marriage, or maybe you're dating. I hope God can stir up something that's really creating a divide that you need to deal with right now, so you can stand at an altar and make these vows, these commitments, and these promises, and live up to them. Now remember, you're not alone in this. If you're out there, you're feeling heavy this morning, like, this is just too much, our prayer team would love to come and pray with you. Maybe pray with you and your spouse this morning. if you feel like you need more than that, you need some professional counseling, you need some help, we'd love to connect you with a counselor this week so you can begin to work and create these pathways to intimacy. Know that you're not alone, that you can take the next step, that you can move in the right direction from here on out. Let's stand, let's pray. I've got one more song the band's gonna lead us here. You are not alone, so don't be afraid. Let's pray. God, this morning, I know that every single one of us has something in our lives that's causing tension, that's creating a lack of intimacy, that's not setting us up well for the future. And so God, I just pray that you would just stir it up in our heart and let us not be afraid of it. God, help us to face it head on with the power of your son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray.